Welcome to another episode of Autosave. I'm Nick Andrade here with my co-host Camille Salazar-Hadaway. And today we are, of course, continuing our journey into Guardians of the Galaxy. And today, Cam, I ask you, if you were forced to choose between two hairstyles for the rest of your life, and you can only have one of those two hairstyles, would it be A, Quill's 80s mullet, or B, Quill's mom's 80s hairstyle? And I keep throwing these questions at you because I know you hate them so much.
I do hate both of them. Although the mullet's coming back. A lot of people are pulling a mullet nowadays. Ugh, so maybe God. If I do Quill's 80s mullet, it'd be good. But yeah, I think, you know what? Maybe if you're going to go bad, just go fully bad. And it's going to be Quill's mom's hairstyle. I don't know what it is. Lots of bangs in the front. Big hair. Let's do it.
I'll take either. It doesn't matter to me because I have no hair anymore. So I'll take any hair at this point. So give me Quill. Give me Quill's mom.
Give you both. Yes. Option C. Both.
Oh, God. But yeah, I don't know why you hate Quill's mom's 80s hairstyle worse than the mullet.
Look, we'll break it down right
here. The way
here.
She flows getting, it in the
getting,
wind.
No, you're She's getting the exclusive woman. Right here. No, you're getting the exclusive hair on Autosave. I'll tell you why. I have curly hair, okay? Naturally curly hair. So in the 90s, when I grew up, big hair wasn't a thing, okay? It was all about the sleek hairstyles. I was made fun of for my curls, okay?
You
There's
were?
Trauma. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And no one likes curly hair, especially in the 90s. Everyone wants the Rachel Green.
Right, yes. The Rachel Green.
The
that's
Rachel,
true.
You know, everyone wanted the sleek hairstyles, and I didn't have it. So I think that's why I have a beef with Quill's mom, because I have a beef with myself.
Oh,
and
God,
there you go.
I didn't
that,
know
that's
we were
going to
open
go.
Up this we can of worms.
Up.
She's
yeah,
literally crying on camera. You can't see this.
Yeah, I'm crying into my cup of tea, and then I'm drinking them. Full circle.
Wow. Okay. She's drinking her own tears. So let's move on last week's episode.
Peter Quill, there's still time to reconsider. The tree creature is not very monstrous.
Drax, we're doing this just like we planned on the Milano.
You're being stubborn. Clearly the rodent is the one that...
I am not being stubborn. I just refuse to change my mind. Because it's the right decision.
Hey, lovebirds, let's go. Bridge ain't gonna cross itself.
I hope Lady Hellbender is as gullible as you expect she is.
You hang tight there, bud. When the time comes, I'll get you out of there. Rocket style if I gotta.
Rocket style if I gotta, 100%.
What is rocket style? Like,
I
in
don't
turn,
know.
I just picture as guns blazing. Like, Rocket
yes.
is not a quiet
no.
person.
With his giant gun, too, he's... He's probably just like Tony Montana. He's probably like, say hello to my little friend.
That is Rocket, yeah. That is definitely Rocket.
A lot of back and forth in this episode, especially with the crew on the decision to either sell Rocket or Groot to Lady Hellbender. We both chose Groot in the scenario. And this is where we find ourselves in Chapter 4, The Monster Queen, and then, of course, Chapter 5, Do or Die, which is this week's episode. I think a lot is going to go down, but also our choices are going to have a big effect on what we do. So because we chose the same thing, we also have to kind of tell everyone what happens if you choose differently and if you choose Rocket. So this episode is going to have a little extra spice. The theme today is setting bait, Camille. And I got to ask you this question because I couldn't come up with some good answers here. But as a plan in a movie, a video game, there's normally a plan that is made from the main characters where they set bait. They are trying to bait someone into a trap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And normally it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas? Because the only
Don't
example
say it,
I have
because that's
of
my
something...
only example. That's my only example. You can't say
no, okay,
it.
Okay, go.
Asked me
what,
the question.
What
I go first.
It?
I go first. Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Or in Avengers. yeah, that's my only example when they're trying to kill Thanos, but then he shows up with the Reality Stone.
Right. Right.
Plan goes bad. Not good.
So don't worry. That wasn't the answer I was thinking along the lines of a situation where it actually has worked. Because in movie lore in general, I feel like it's always set up for failure because it's probably the conflict in the movie that leads to the climax. So something like that, the story is built around that kind of trap or plan to not work. The only one that I can think of that actually worked was Ocean's 11, where they got away with it and they got the money.
Well, I mean, a lot of heist movies, they usually get the money in the end, right? Because you're following the heisters.
That's true.
Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Is that what the heisters?
No, I don't think they call themselves the heisters.
I don't want to call them robbers because like they're kind of our heroes. But yeah.
I haven't used the term robbers in so long, other than like cops and robbers. But so Ant-Man, I guess, would be one too then, right?
That went right. Yeah. And also, again, keeping it Marvel, Avengers, when they go back in time to get the Infinity Stones, that worked.
Can we though, like, well, you know why it worked? Because a rat, okay, was climbing on top of the van that Ant-Man was in that saved him from the quantum realm. I just want like everyone to know that a rat saved the world and no one gives the rat any credit.
Yeah.
That was the point of the movie where I kind of groaned, but also time travel is a very fickle thing.
It is.
You got to do right. And I think Marvel did time travel pretty well, but that's besides the point. That's not even a part of the story. We're talking about bait.
The rat.
And setting a trap.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And the rat. Well, yes, the rat could be Peter Quill. We're not sure. But normally it goes wrong. Normally these plans fall astray. And I'm going to say that I'm guessing in this episode, we'll probably find out that something bad happens because it is the Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot of dumb things happen to them.
They're all about the humor and reacting to the unexpected that becomes the expected for the Guardians because they always, it seems like the unexpected always lands in their lap. So yes, yeah. I feel like this is going to go south. It is not going to work, but we'll see.
Before we get into some gameplay and see if the plan actually works, we want to mention, of course, we're on Patreon. That's patreon.com/autosavepod. Join today for our bonus episodes, access to our Discord. You can talk to us. You can talk to me about how much I love Pokemon. You can see some of my gameplay and how many times I mess up and all of that. So if you'd like to support the show, we'd love to have you. Up next, brace yourself for Lady Hellbender on Autosave. Welcome back, and before we get into it, of course there's a choice. Like we mentioned in the last episode, we can pick either Groot or Rocket. We both went with the Groot way, so that's the route that we will be following through this mission and our clips that we're using, but of course there is a Rocket route. We will mention what happens if you do his storyline. But for me personally, I thought Groot was the right choice to make because, again, he's the hulking giant. We mentioned it in last episode why we both chose him. And this is where we finally get to meet Lady Hellbender.
Drax, buddy. Show her.
Show her what?
The monster, man. Open the cage, show her the monster.
You should have said that.
A Flora Colossus. I thought your kind had been wiped out.
So you're interested then?
What? 4,000 units? Are you freaking kidding me? Groot is worth way more than 4,000 units. Tell her, Quill. Tell Lady Nutjob we ain't selling Groot for less than 8.
Look, Groot is worth at least 10,000 units. You said it yourself. He's the last of his kind.
That you know of.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's supposed to mean that even if he is the last of his kind, 10,000 is still too high.
Yeah, well, 4,000 units is an insult. I mean, look at the big guy. He's the best buddy you could possibly buy. The best monster.
Do something, Peter.
Either you pay us what he's worth, or we're walking out of here.
No one is stopping you, little one.
Drax, buddy, you've got a good eye for monsters. What do you think a good price is for Groot?
Well, the creature is a capable warrior, he's loyal, and he possesses regenerative qualities.
And he's the best pal a guy could wish for.
She will serve you well, Lady Hellbender. 12,000 units would be sufficient.
10,500. But only because I like you, Destroyer.
That amount would also be acceptable.
So yeah, a lot going down here. Lady Hellbender has a crush on Drax. Can I also say, we might go a little PG-13.
I have a crush on Drax.
You have a crush on Drax. I have a crush on Lady Hellbender.
Oh. I mean, yeah, she's good looking.
She's a badass. And she's got a giant axe. And
I thought you were okay. Yeah. An axe.
We might get it. I'll get it. I'm gonna stop it there. We might get real sticky here. But so she has a crush on Drax, and they obviously negotiate here. There's a situation where if you follow Drax right away, apparently you get 15,000 units. But because I had chosen to kind of stick my head out as Quill and then resort to going back to Drax, the deal was only 10,500. Did you get 15,000 or was it 10,500 for you?
15,000.
You got 15?
Yeah.
So what did you choose in order to get that?
So when you interact with Lady Hellbender, Quill tries to say something and she puts her hand up and is kind of like, not you, and starts talking about Drax. So then I knew like that was the angle to go with. So for everything, I just said, let's go with Drax. What would Drax do? Drax, tell me what you want to do. So that's how your girl knows how to bargain. Read the room. First lesson, read the room.
I did, but then I just thought maybe I need to like step in here. But clearly now I lost out on 5,000 units.
You lost out.
But I do like that, again, your decisions actually have an effect on certain things. It's not just necessarily like fodder to just try out. Like, it actually is, it feels very Mass Effect-y in terms of this. We also saw a quick cutscene right before this clip where Lady Hellbender is talking to another merchant who sells her a monster that is a morph monster.
Yes.
And then ends up morphing into one of her monsters and then killing the merchant, so she gets it for free.
But she sticks to her word and she does transfer the funds to the merchant's account. After the monster kills the merchant, you hear her say, transfer the units to his account. So it's not even she's trying to rob the merchant. The merchant just happened to die. She also has this weird thing where she's like, you're free now. Like, she talks to all of her monster collection as though they were being, I guess, like, captured or locked up, which I guess in a sense they are, but she's also causing that because she's buying monsters. So it's hard to read Lady Hellbender. And they also see like armies of like monsters. They keep saying she's building an army,
but she's like setting them free, but not really. You're right in that sense.
Yeah, she's not setting them free. Because at first I was like, oh, that's really sweet of her. Like, she's really just here for the monsters and making sure they're treated right. But then wait a second. Reverse. Why are you doing this in the first place then? Because they would be free if there wasn't a cost over their head. Anyways.
So Lady Hellbender takes Groot away and they go down an elevator shaft, I guess, or whatever it is. How did you feel about Groot leaving?
There was such a sweet moment there. Oh my god, I didn't think I'd feel, but I like Groot, but I didn't think I'd feel the way I feel until I saw Rocket look out to Groot.
Yeah.
Then he's like, Gamora, I think it's Gamora, goes up to him and kind of like pads Rocket on the shoulder, and you just see the two staring at each other, and then Groot goes down the like elevator. It's so sad.
But you obviously know that, like, Do you really think Groot's going to die in this game? I mean, I thought he was going to die in the first mission, but I can honestly say I'm sure he'll be fine.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know about the game. I'm just traumatized by the movie, so I'm trying to prepare myself if it happens.
Okay. So again, this is the choice here with Groot and Rocket. Different decisions. If you picked Rocket, you actually have to fight your way through everything. She doesn't accept Rocket as a monster. And then it's interesting because, one, Lady Hellbender really likes Drax, and he's able to negotiate on our end for Groot. But his decision in general, was because he's always wanted to throw Rocket as the monster, was never going to fly. So I find that funny that Drax is good in one sense, but his actual decision about which monster to give was actually wrong in the first place.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I never thought of it like that.
So we have to do stealth mission for Groot in order to save him. With Rocket, you have to, again, like I said, fight your way through. Is it better, though, Camille, to have fought your way through? Because I thought about this, that we would be able to gain more XP and get more ability points if we fought more.
Okay, yeah, okay. So for Guardians development, in terms of skill sets you could unlock, yes, I guess that would be better because you get more XP. However, I think it's more Guardians to sneak your way through.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of funny moments, like where there's just a bunch of Lady Hellbender's minions that are just sleeping. They passed out drunk, and you have to kind of navigate around them. And there's sometimes little close calls. And I just like the dialogue between all the characters. And yeah. I find that very Guardians. Like, I could see that in a movie. So that's why I was happy with the stealth.
Did you have any issues with the stealth? I never once woke anybody up, but I could see like there's a bunch of pots on the ground. The maneuvering is kind of tight sometimes. Did you wake anybody up?
I did not wake anyone up, but there were, I think Rocket might have had a close call at one point. Like, you hear Rocket be like, oh, that's a close call. Luckily, though, Camille got her stuff together. I did not wake anyone up, which is great. Nice.
So we get back to the same area we were when we talked to Lady Hellbender at night. Basically, we want to get down to the elevator shaft and find Groot again. And this is where we get a whole new puzzle slash mechanic of the game, which is the circuit switches. What did you think about this kind of thing?
Didn't we have a circuit thing in Spider-Man as well? So we like did. I was like, is this a yeah. Marvel thing now just to include circuits in every Marvel game? And you know what? I'm not opposed to it. I actually enjoyed it. So Rocket kind of goes in this little hole to try to turn on the switch for the elevator in Lady Hellbender's throne room, since the elevator's not working. Classic Guardians. And when you do that, you kind of use your visor to see where the switches are on the ground, and you have to kind of go through and make sure the circuit is continued instead of broken. It's very straightforward, but if you activate the elevator first, then you won't be able to get to other parts. So keep that in mind as you go through. Try to do, whenever you have these moments, see if there's anything else you could activate before activating the main thing.
I agree. But once we do that, we get the elevator working. We go down to find Groot.
Oh, crap.
Guardians of the Galaxy. You fools thought you could cheat me and suffer no consequence.
Groot. I'm Groot.
Which one of you thought it wise to entrust your absurd scheme to a Flora Colossus? You call him friend, yet you ignore his very nature, overlooking the fact that he is
the worst liar in history.
I told you, he can't just pretend to be monstrous.
To his credit, he kept your secret for almost an hour.
Well, there you go. Groot could not keep a secret, and are we surprised? But it's in his nature as a plant to always tell the truth?
I guess so. He's grounded. So he just can't tell the truth. He can't lie. I don't know. I never knew that, but I always thought Groot was a truthful person.
Yeah.
And actually, before you get to this point, you have that moment to kind of get to know all the different Guardians. You ask Rocket to makeshift a broken transmitter so you could understand Groot, because you're always going through Rocket to understand Groot. And Peter makes a point that what Rocket's telling you Groot's saying is not exactly what Groot would be saying, because Rocket's always putting his spin on it. And we've actually seen that before when Groot volunteers himself to be sold to Lady Hellbender. We see Rocket completely lie about what Groot said. So yeah, I guess like they're just, Groots are really honest and you can't trust other people to communicate for Groot. But my thing is, Lady Hellbender understands Groot?
I would guess so, yeah.
I thought like it's a dying language. I don't know. I don't know if this is a overlook. I want to know Lady Hellbender, but I guess because she knows lots of monsters, she's very educated maybe on Groot.
Well, there's a couple things here. One, you mentioned the translations with Groot and Rocket. We did find an artifact in one of these first missions that is a translator, but it's broken. And we want to fix it in order to talk to Groot, but Rocket is also like, I don't really care. I can translate really well, but I do really want to know what Groot says. On the other hand as well, in this mission, we see that there are two Groots, because one of them is actually the monster that can morph. And Lady Hellbender uses that as a trap to trap us. So we're trying to trap her. She's trying to trap us, but she gets the best of us. Our plan obviously doesn't work. And we find Groot, and now we have to pay for it with Lady Hellbender's wrath, which is not so fun because she's kind of pissed.
Yeah, she's pissed, and so am I. Two Groots, what the heck? That would have been so cool.
So Drax offers to fight Lady Hellbender one-on-one, but obviously that's not going to work.
Dweller, feast upon them!
Well, as you can tell by the dramatic music, it's time, Camille. I have been waiting for 4 chapters. Boss fight!
Yes, boss fights. And this is kind of the monster they teased when you were on your way to Lady Hellbender when you landed on the planet. You saw like tentacles kind of everywhere. And it's the Dweller in Darkness. Wasn't the Dweller in Darkness something from Shang-Chi as well? Is this 2 Shang-Chi references? I think so.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Legends of the 10 Rings.
It is. So it is the Dweller of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's 2 already. Why don't they just make a Shang-Chi movie? What the hell? Or movie. Video game. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they are. Maybe this is what it's teasing.
But again, boss fight, Camille. 4 chapters in is our first boss fight. Does that seem like an ample amount of time?
I'm okay with it.
You're okay with that?
I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Really?
Because they were really diving into the story. I feel like if there was a boss fight off the top, which they teased to, but it never happened.
Yeah.
It would have just been like, okay, this is what I could expect. Like, I feel like it would have felt repetitive when we got to another boss fight. Since at this point, the gameplay hasn't really gone too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense to introduce a boss fight a little later.
So there's 3 phases into the Dweller of Darkness. The first phase, you have to attack the tentacles. You use Groot's move to bind the tentacle to the ground, and then you have a chance to freeze it. Ice Shot, cut off the tentacle. Gamora helps you out with that. And then in phase 2, it's the same thing with the 2 remaining tentacles, but it also spits out a bunch of jelly cubes that you have to fight while you're fighting this and dodge. It starts to get real hectic. And then in the 3rd phase, no more tentacles. You've ripped them all off, and now it opens its eye, and that gives you a chance to freeze the inside of it, and Drax will throw things at it, and that's how you defeat it. Overall, Camille, how did you find this fight? Was it easy, hard, difficult? What do you think?
The Dweller in Darkness, because it's so big, it's just a lot of dodging. So when the tentacles fall on the ground, you kind of see an outline or like an area where you know the tentacle's gonna fall. So you have to like dodge out of the way. But then for me, I had a few times where one of my teammates would be down. So I think it was Drax got down a couple times and Gamora, and they would be right in the line of the tentacle falling. So like while I would try to heal them, I'd have to like dodge out of the way and then go back and heal them. So that was like the maneuvering, most of the heavy maneuvering for me. And then it's also timing that freeze shot to actually have Gamora cut off the tentacle.
The third phase kind of messed me up a bit. I wasn't really sure what to do. I know it opened its eye, but it only is for a certain amount of time. And so there was a lot of point in this third phase where I was just killing jelly cubes and not really understanding the mechanic before I finally got a cue in order to do it. But I definitely didn't know what I was doing in that third phase.
No, the third, I thought it was pretty straightforward because, like, it shows you the dweller, like, spitting out that thing from its brain. And it's like hot lava, so you have to cool it down so Drax could throw it back at the dweller. And then if you freeze all the jelly cubes, then it's easier to kill them off. So for me, it was just making that, like, because when you use your freeze elemental, it drains quickly, more quickly than your regular bullets. So you have to make sure that you're not overusing it. So that was like the moment when I would have to really rely on dodging.
Defeating the Dweller of Darkness gives us a chance to escape, despite Lady Hellbender catching up to us. She fully jumps onto the ship with her animal thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's funny to me because it's kind of like, it's so primitive in terms of, like, she has just an axe and this monster, and we're trying to get away on a ship. But we end up escaping, and she actually says, "Your bones are mine, guardians of the galaxy," which she says it pretty intensely. So I'm guessing we probably are going to hear from her at least some point in this game moving forward, right?
Definitely.
Well, that ends chapter 4. And then we get an urgent message from Nikki on the ship.
It's true.
There's something wrong with the connection.
Did you twist the thingy?
Yeah, no dice. Nikki, is your mom around? I really need to talk to her.
She's with me. Inside me. After you left, we went into the quarantine zone. I sunk aboard and there was dark fog.
Did you try narrowing the band?
First thing I tried. It's got to be something else. I'm losing you, Nick. Can you put your mom on?
You were bad. I'm not going to break her sandwich from you.
Think something has happened to the girl.
Yeah, it's called she's Nova Corps.
Can you fix it?
Yeah, keep your star pants on. I'll go check the array.
Bring them back. Give me the wall back. I just have to.
So that scream gets me every time because, again, I thought someone was murdered.
Yeah.
I thought that was someone in a part of Nikki's thing. And then I find out it was Rocket because the llama ended up chewing some cords down below.
Yeah. He really hates this llama. And I guess the llama's not helping his case as well because he ate the cords. Yes. But it's such a funny moment after because you just see Groot being the good friend come in and just pick up the llama and walk away, like just taking the problem away for his friend. And then you find out that like Groot literally made a Groot cage for the llama.
Yeah.
And the llama's just stuck there.
Oh, by the way, I was right about them not, you know, the llama being taken away or something or killed or anything. I managed to save the illegal tech and I still got the llama. And now I have money from Lady Hellbender. So now I'm just swimming in it, baby.
Yeah, but you don't have the 15,000 units because I'm in it, baby.
That's true. Damn. Okay. Wow. You really told me. The Nikki message, by the way, it was really weird. She says something like her mom is inside her. They went back to the
inside. No, I thought like I thought inside hiding.
No, I definitely heard. Hiding. Yeah, she's here. She's inside me. She said she's inside me. I'm 100. I'm pretty sure. And she also said like something happened to her. In her little message that they can't hear properly. Right.
Yeah, it was like she said something after because that's at that part. I thought, okay, so I thought she said, my mother's inside, it cut off, you can't make it out. Then she says, after something, we went into, I thought they said hiding. Right?
Yeah.
It's really broken telephone here because it's really hard to make out.
Yeah.
And it's weird. What was weird is it seemed like she could get everything that the Guardians or what Peter's saying, like she has a clear connection on her side because she just continued talking and like as if everything's normal. Mm-hmm. So even if Peter was like, put your mom on, why couldn't Corel be put on?
Well, maybe like they couldn't
the
like
screen.
They could barely hear her. She probably could barely hear them, right?
Maybe.
But I agree with you. Probably should have said that. Maybe. There's a weird scenario here where they want to return, so they want to pay off the debt. So mm-hmm. that's why they're going back to Hala's Hope.
Yeah.
But my question is, there's no real huge mention of like saving Nikki, because if you watch that message, you think obviously she's in distress and something's wrong.
Yeah.
But they were more worried about paying off the debt. Rocket doesn't like the idea at all, and he is kind of being a little Debbie Downer about everything.
Well, Rocket just didn't want to go with the idea of, you know, making a deal with Nova Corps, and he didn't even like right. how that turned out because he doesn't like to pay his fines. He wanted to go to nowhere because he knows a guy who could have took the chip that Corel implanted onto the ship to blow up the ship if they ran away without paying their fines. He could have went to nowhere to get a guy to remove that and kept the money from Lady Hellbender. So that's why he's kind of bent out of shape, because he wanted things to go his way, but it didn't. My thing is, yes, they are kind of acting like there's nothing wrong with Nikki, but I do get what they're saying. I think it's Peter that says because of the llama biting the connection, it probably messed up everything. So I think if you just go in with that and it's like just a tech issue, then everything does seem fine.
We also get a point, this is a little breather where we can get to know a little bit more of our team. I think Rocket talks about a lot of his past and, you know, how much he was experimented on and whatnot. But we finally dock, and it seems like the place is empty, which I'm guessing is not a good sign. We have to unlock a door, so that means another circuit puzzle. And we also meet a prisoner, Jack Flagg, who we accidentally send down to somewhere, and like I'm not sure if he's dead or not. Do you have any idea what happened to him?
I think Rocket says, oh, you sent him to be incinerated, like, or like pretty much.
Oh no, is that what we did?
I think so. But then we don't, because we see him a little bit later, so, and then send him down somewhere else. So I have no idea what happened to him the second time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's an exaggeration. I don't want a death on my hands.
Me
or
either.
Peter's hands.
I felt bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And we learn more about Nova Corps and how they operate. So when they see that no one is on Hala's Hope, it's Rocket who mentions that their ships are usually automated because it's like hive mind. It's connected to the central Nova Corps.
Right.
So they sometimes use like drones, robots, whatever it is. And there's not a lot of manpower on their ships. But then it clicks in for them that it's like, wait, there's like no one on the ship. So something's up.
We see a bunch of Nova Corps suits. They're basically man-tailored for each personal person. And then we also find a helmet, and we decide to talk inside of it to see who's on the other side. That probably wasn't a good idea.
Where's Centurion Corel?
Have faith. She is not with us at this time.
Have faith? Really?
Anyone else seeing a purple glow around these guys?
I do not trust them. If there's an alternative plan, now may be the time to execute it.
Come. All will be made clear. Once you experience the promise.
What do you mean there's no Centurion Corel? Her ship's literally docked outside.
I understand your confusion. We will set your tumultuous souls at ease. Come, Guardians of the Galaxy. We will take you to the Hala's Hope. Then you too can have faith.
So right off, like, you can tell by the way this guy's talking that something's off and it's kind of creepy, right?
Well, yeah. I also want to point out, I did not choose to talk into the helmet. So you have the option when you put on the helmet to talk into the helmet, like respond to whoever you're listening in on, or not to say anything. I said nothing, and then Peter just takes off the helmet and throws it, like kind of kicks it away.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I did that is because when you listen in, the guy's kind of like, you know, we're going to go to Sector 7 or 6 or something like that and like sweep it. We're looking for blah, blah, blah. So it seemed like very much like they were looking for someone who I just felt bad vibes. I'm like, they're looking for someone. I hope it's not us. We're not the intruders. So then I just said nothing. So I had no backstory on like them asking about Corel to the Nova Corps.
I chose to talk in there because I kind of wanted to fight because I knew something bad was going to happen and I was itching to fight some more. That's the reason why. Did you just, so you just ran to the next area after?
Yeah, you go to the next area, but you do run into some Nova Corps.
Do you? Okay, so and then regardless. You hear
Gamora say, like, do you notice, like, the hue? So it's the same dialogue. It just happens a little bit later.
We get to fight all these guys, and they are a lot stronger, I would say, than most of the enemies we've fought so far. There's all different types. You have, like, a fast melee type, one with shields on it that you have to disengage, and then there's also this giant guy as well. So I like the fact that there's different kind of mobs that you have to fight in this, and it's starting to get, the difficulty level is starting to raise a little bit.
Yeah, the guy with the shield is probably the worst because the other Nova Corps, you could use your freeze elemental to kind of freeze them. And then like maybe after three hits, they're done for. So it's really easy to take those guys on. But the guys with the shield, because they have the shield that goes completely in front of them, you do have to get around them or send one of the other guardians to hit them in the front with the shield and then go behind. So those ones were always the ones whenever I saw them in a like a pack, I would always go after the shield guys first. And then as you go through, there's like the other guys that throw like missiles or whatever, which is pretty annoying. So then you go after them too. But I think yeah. If you freeze, usually try to freeze enemies, like the small guys first, mm-hmm. the small fry, get rid of them, and then handle the big guys. Because they also do like with the shield, they do that electric shock thing, current, like where they send out three waves of current. Like I've gotten electrocuted a few times with that.
Me too. Those missile guys too, super annoying because I'm not entirely very sure annoying. Where they are.
And they're very precise. Very
they
precise.
Are. And they it feels like they spam it so quickly. Like I have to dodge constantly. But as we try to find Corel slash maybe escape this place, we stumble upon what looks like people praying to a door and golden energy is leaving their bodies.
What the hell have we wandered into?
Check out that big guy. Don't look like no Nova to me.
He's a sorcerer. Behold the magic flowing to the altar.
There's no such thing as magic, right?
Come on, let's get moving before these whack jobs spot us.
It's like we stumbled on some creepy cult.
I told you, it ain't our problem.
It will be if they've taken over Nova Corps.
No Nova? No fine. No problem.
So I gotta ask you, Cam, like, if I recall correctly from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, there was some sort of altar slash door at some point, either in the beginning or in the post credits, where there was a bunch of gold people. And the thought was like it was Adam Warlock or something like that. That's the vibes I'm getting from this.
Yeah, I think it's the same people or maybe like more extremists.
Yeah.
Because they're also in the movie, right?
She's like a gold character. She's all gold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the tease to Adam Warlock who's in the next Guardians movie. So yeah, is this it? I have no idea. What freaked me out was the big guy. So there's like these little people praying or having like gold sucked from them. And then this huge guy, like he looks like a like watcher level huge.
But we saw these guys in the beginning in chapter 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the Grand Unifier Raker. So I'm guessing he has some sort of involvement in this.
Yeah.
Or not. I'm not really sure. But those big guys are really creepy.
So, but that means then they were there before.
Right.
So when we first got at Nova Corps,
yeah,
they were there doing whatever or setting up their plan to have this moment happen then. So how many days has it been? Like,
that's what I've been trying to figure out what the timelines are. Yeah. Has it been days? Has it been weeks?
Is it one day? Is it 2 days?
I feel like it's been weeks.
Is it the same day?
I feel like
it's weeks.
Yeah.
I feel like because that mission with Lady Hellbender seemed like it was just something that was happening in the moment. Like,
so did
we know there was an overnight, right? So it had to be at least 2 days, right? And then I feel like to get there, we're in space travel air, you know, territory here where it's like comes naturally. It's like should be immediate. So maybe like I was thinking 2 or 3 days. But I think it all started to go down as soon as we left. That's what my...
I agree. I just am not sure what the timelines are. But I'm really intrigued in all of this. Like, this specific clip that we just played made me, again, it's the suspense, the mystery. There's something going on, but we're not really quite sure what that is. And I always love that sense in video games. I don't know if you feel the same way.
No, I do. I do. You don't want to know everything that's going to happen, right? And I think when you're dealing with a property like Guardians of the Galaxy, where a lot of people know it because of the MCU, it's harder to pull this off.
Yeah.
So the Easter eggs that you put in there, the reveals, they have to come out of left field or hinting to, you know, this Adam Warlock reveal potentially.
Well, the Guardians, of course, they realize that something is going on. So their main thing to do is to try to escape.
There she is. Come to Papa. 4PL, done. All right, bay is clear, extending catwalks, and... Flark!
What's up?
The clamps won't release. Those whack jobs must have triggered a lockdown.
Can you override it?
Wouldn't be much of a lockdown if I could. I can hold her in position and get the engines warmed up, but you're gonna have to release those clamps manually.
All right, release the clamps and don't die.
Flark indeed, as our job is to unclamp the ship and fight our way out of there. Did you have any issues? I wasn't really sure how to unclamp them until I saw there was just a little button there that I had to switch, and that was it.
Well, yeah, the clamps. So I just did exactly what Rocket said. I only focused on the clamps and like dodged my way through the enemies and only fought with enemies that I needed to. Although the experience would have been really great used to upgrade all of my different abilities, but whatever. The first two clamps are really easy to see because they're just at the front.
Yeah.
The other four, I had no idea where those clamps were because I didn't realize I had to go upstairs.
Yeah.
So as you go upstairs, and then you could actually jump onto the ship and shoot the back of the clamps to release them. But it is straightforward.
And that's pretty much it. We escape. And that's all the chapters of this episode. When we come back, let's take a look back at Lady Hellbender and our choices on autosave. As you can tell by all the grunts and bullets, that pretty much sums up Chapter 5, a whole lot of action. Cam, can you kind of explain to me, if you have any sense of this chapter? They wanted to pay the debt, I understand that, but it felt like they didn't want to go after Nikki and Carell at all. Like, they don't really mention much about her, and knowing that they're in danger, they kind of just basically bolted out there, apart from Rocket being annoying and being like, we gotta get out of here!
Well, I think it's like a, you know, kind of an ego thing, like because of the potential parental relationship Quill has for Nikki. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's driving him to kind of go after paying this fine, quote, is how he puts it, right? To be on the good books, to pay and not have Nova Corps after them, because like that's going to be annoying. Although he doesn't mind Lady Hellbender being after them, which I feel like would be more of a scary thing to have on your back that you wouldn't want. So, like, I probably would have not gone with paying the fine at all and just ran from Nova Corps. But anyways. But yeah, like, I feel like he wants to check up with Nikki. Gamora seems like she kind of understands that and wants to help. Like,
agreed.
Genuinely help the people of Hollow Hope. Mm-hmm. Like, she keeps talking about, like, there's possible survivors. It looks like people were barricading themselves. They may be on the ship or they may have been on Hollow's Hope as it escaped.
Yeah.
And she isn't necessarily against pursuing that. But it seems like Rocket and I'm going to say Groot because Rocket speaks for Groot, is the ones that are specifically against going further with this mission and just wants to get out of harm's way, which is very much Rocket from the movie, from the MCUs.
So how would you rate the boss fight in Chapter 4 in terms of it being the first boss fight, but also taking a while? And I mean, in terms of normally first boss fights are kind of really easy to kind of get the player involved in what is going on. But because this one was so far ahead, I felt like the boss fight was able to manage those expectations of what a boss fight is four chapters into the game. And it felt good. It didn't feel super easy. It didn't feel super hard. It felt like it was really balanced in terms of where you were in the game, at least.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like it could have come off a bit easier. I feel like a lot of games would have wanted to do that fight easier than what it was. Mm-hmm. But again, because it's four chapters in, it needs to be a little bit more difficult or a little bit more complex in how you are fighting this monster. So having like the jelly cubes, then having that thing that it throws from its brain, and then also having to trigger Gamora to cut off the tentacles. I think that's a great way to make it complicated without making it overly complicated.
So we talked about it at the beginning, using Groot as bait, even though he can't keep secrets. Once again, the plan and the bait and the trap seem to fail. What do you think overall of the plan? Did you feel like this was the best route of action, regardless of using Rocket or Groot, but just even making that plan to start with? It seemed like it was set up for failure right away.
It was just a bad plan. Bad plan. The plan should have been to run away from Nova Corps and go to nowhere, like Rocket said, and get the guy to remove the chip from the Milano. That should have been the plan.
I agree. Again, with movies, with TV, with video games, if the heroes are making a plan, it seems like it never goes right properly. What do you think is happening with the ship, the Hollis Hope? What's going on with Nova Corps? People seem possessed. What's your best guess of what's going on?
Yeah, I didn't read any of like the synopsis of the game or the, you know, reviews really. Like, I've only heard reviews, but nothing plot related. Yeah. So for me going in this completely blind, I do think they're probably going to do something with Adam Warlock, who for like background is this guy who scientists kind of experimented on, or the scientist made a perfect human on Earth. And then something goes down between the scientist, Adam Warlock, and then Thor shows up, something goes down, and then Adam Warlock goes to space. And he's kind of praised to being this perfect being, and he's called him a lot, or he, him. And I think there was something in there with the soul stone, which we saw.
Ooh.
Right? We said we saw this, what looked like the soul stone.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of history with Adam Warlock getting the soul stone.
I thought I heard them say at one point in Chapter 5 that Adam Warlock's dead. Or maybe that's not me. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking things. Maybe it was four cycles ago. I didn't know what time frame it was.
Or maybe, well, maybe if he, I miss that, if that was said. But if that is what is happening, is it someone trying to make a new Adam Warlock? Because Adam Warlock pretty much devours souls in a sense, where he absorbs them into himself, which would explain the gold stream that these people were praying to.
Huh.
Right? So I'm going to go along the lines, we're going to see Adam Warlock or someone who's trying to be the next Adam Warlock.
I agree. And that makes me super excited. And again, we both have not finished the game. So we, and we aren't pretending like we don't know what's happening. We actually don't.
We honestly don't
know.
We're
going
through
you. Yeah. With you guys. But I think that's it for us. Is there anything else you want to mention before we go? Other than Adam Warlock's
No. Gold.
I
love something.
Gold. Sorry, I had to.
So this is going to be something I think we're going to bring in. If this gold theme continues in the game, gold. I love gold.
Thank you. Thank you for joining along with me. And of course, you listeners can join along with us as well. And you can help us on patreon.com/autosavepod if you want to join, help support the show. We would really appreciate it. We're shouting out Tension Mask, a Patreon supporter of ours. Thank you so much for joining. We really appreciate all the support. Again, if you'd like to join, that's patreon.com/autosavepod. And our socials, this is Camco, Nick Andrade 89. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about Adam Warlock, because that's a character I don't know too much about, but I'm super excited to dive into, whether it's in the game or we know he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So super excited for that. Next week on Autosave, we have a date with a Russian dog. Horrible accent, but you'll have to wait and see next time on Autosave.